Blog Talk Radio.
And a great big hello and welcome. You're listening to the Palm Springs Savant & Company radio show. I'm Rick Rockhill, your host, and thank you for tuning in today. Today's show is all about guide dogs, and it may be something that you haven't really put much thought into or really considered very much, but I am involved in a fundraiser for guide dogs because this is National Guide Dog Month. The month of September this year is a month of the focus of awareness and how we can help accredited guide dog schools across the country receive the funds they need to provide guide dogs to people who need them. You're probably wondering why I'm involved in this or how this kind of came to light. But those of you who may be familiar with me, I work for Natural Balance Pet Foods, and a few years ago we got involved with guide dog schools locally because we knew that it was a tough challenge for them to provide guide dogs, and we would help them with food and so forth. And as we got greater insights and information about the process of raising a guide dog, we were quite frankly touched. We were impressed, and it really made an impression upon us. And so we started looking for other ways to help. Well, one of our retail partners, Petco, offered to have a fundraiser. So about 3 years ago, we did a local fundraiser in Southern California, and we were pretty successful in just a small area. So it inspired us to find additional ways to keep doing this and make it bigger and bigger. Last year, we had a fantastic event. Paula Abdul was the spokesperson for us, helped get the word out, and we're really pleased with the public reception, but we knew we had to do more. So this year, we put our heads together, partnered with retailers and various guide dog schools across the country, and we found a way to put together a campaign that would really reach more people and get the word out. And so what we're working on right now is how we can share the information and spread the news so people can understand what a great cause it is. Now, I should back up and say that I'm an animal lover. I have dogs and cats in my home. They're part of my family. And pets are part of the family because they have evolved into this really close part of the American family unit in a way it was never before. But what's different is a guide dog is not just, it's more than a family member. It's an incredible bond because when a person has a guide dog, that dog is their eyes. They are their safe, their guardian for safety. And so this guide dog has this bond with that human in another whole level than anyone with just a human, with just a pet in the family. So that's one of the things that really touched us and moved us, and we were so impressed by this process that guide dog schools go through to pair up a guide dog with a blind person. Now, you also may be wondering what it is about guide dogs that's so complicated. Well, that's kind of what we want to talk about on today's show. So I've got a few guests coming in today. I'm really pleased that we'll have a representative from the Guide Dogs of the Desert, Kim Laidlaw. And we have two other folks calling in today who will be joining us to talk about their experiences and interactions with guide dogs in the last couple of years and so forth. So we'll have some great insights today on the show. But the point we're at right now is we've just kicked off National Guide Dog Month. And Dick Van Patten, who's the co-founder of Natural Balance Pet Foods, he asked his friend Nicolette Sheridan, the actress, to join him to help get the word out. And, these kind of causes, you really need people's attention to talk about it and understand the cause. And Nicolette has done a great job helping us put together a really fun campaign. And it's something, quite honestly, that we didn't realize how exciting it could be until we started working on it more. So what you'll be seeing happening right now is you can go to any Petco retail store across the country, and you can make a donation at the register in any amount. Also, you can purchase specially marked bags of Natural Balance Lamb and Rice dog food, and a dollar of each bag will go toward the guide dog schools. Full details are available on our website, naturalbalanceinc.com. Also, many of your local independent pet stores where you can find Natural Balance are participating in this fundraiser as well. So you can really go wherever you like. But if you would prefer to donate online, you can do so. Petco.com has offered their website up for donations. You just go to petco.com/naturalbalance, and you can vote on the name of the next guide dog puppy. You can learn some facts, and most importantly, you can make a donation right on the spot. So I hope that you will consider that as you hear more about it on the show. Now I'm going to just to play a PSA announcement that I'm hoping you will have a chance to listen to here, and then we'll jump into our guest caller in just a moment. So here goes.
Hi, I'm Nicolette Sheridan, and I'm here with Dick Van Patten to ask for your support during National Guide Dog Month.
Now, we've teamed up with Petco to raise $1 billion so the people who don't have the gift of sight receive guide dogs.
It takes more than 2 years and over $40,000 to train one single guide dog. So with your donation, we can help guide dog schools train dogs to provide safe mobility, companionship, and the miracle of independence to the blind.
So please, make a donation today when you check out.
Through the gift of a guide dog, together, we can make a difference.
And that was, of course, Miss Nicolette Sheridan, the wonderful actress, and she has really put her heart and soul into this to help us get the word out. So I want to thank Nicolette for her help and support. We're going to go to the phones right now. On the air with me should be Ms. Kim Laidlaw from the Guide Dogs of the Desert. Kim, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Rick. Good morning. How are you?
I'm great, thanks. I really appreciate you calling in and being here. You've been on the show before and did a great job, and quite honestly, we had received emails from some folks who were so impressed by what you shared. You were the first person I thought of to call back when we wanted to have this show today about National Guide Dog Month.
So, well, thank you.
Great to have you here. Well, Kim, I was hoping what we could do is just take our listeners through a little bit about this cause, because I kind of did the setup this morning about what's going on, why it is National Guide Dog Month, but it might be helpful if you could take our listeners through with a few facts about visually impaired people. What kind of things are out there that you could share?
Certainly. This is such an important cause. If I may just throw a personal note in, and that is when I was living in Chicago, my grandfather went blind from macular degeneration. And I wasn't even aware that guide dogs were available to blind people. So being involved in this organization, having Petco Natural Balance and Nicolette involved in this month, of fundraising is really important so that people like my grandfather could have had the opportunity to use a guide dog. According to the Braille Institute, there are – I'm sorry if you hear my dogs barking.
is that a guide dog puppy at home?
Unfortunately, it's a disqualified guide dog.
but, no problem. We love animals.
We do. Yes, we do. The Braille Institute tells us that there are 15 million blind and visually impaired people in the United States. And according to what they say, 1.3 million of those 15 million blind are actually legally blind or totally blind. So, you know, when you say blind and visually impaired doesn't mean blind. It just means someone like myself who has visual impairments, and I wear glasses to correct it. However, a legally blind person means that their central visual acuity is less than 20 over 200. And so legally blind is all that an individual needs to be in order to receive a guide dog, because it could be that you know, legally blind means that maybe you only see shadows or that you can't see peripherally. So one of the things that I think is a misnomer is that people think that individuals have to be totally blind in order to get a guide dog, which is not in fact true.
Okay. Hmm. And so is it a how broad is this? Is this, you know, the fact about people who have either blindness or visual impairment, how broad is it? What's the scope or the reach?
That's across the United States. So that that's one out of every 20 people have vision problems. And what that means is that every 7 minutes, someone in America becomes blind or visually impaired. So those are pretty high statistics.
Wow. Now, I also remember I've read somewhere about this has there's a reasonably high impact to our military, our veterans. What do you know about that?
Yeah, 13% of our military that are currently returning from war are returning with eye injuries. And so Guide Dogs of the Desert personally has made a commitment that once a year we will have a class that is dedicated to an all-veterans class. But, you know, that's a pretty high percentage of military men and women that are coming back not only trying to deal with, you know, the scope of war, but also dealing with the physical impairments as well.
Really amazing, and we owe our veterans a great deal of gratitude and anything we can do to help them. I mean, I was impressed by seeing some veterans at guide dog graduations, and there's still a lot of veterans who are not aware that guide dogs are even a possibility or an option for them if they've been affected in some fashion.
That's very true, Rick, and we're trying to do as much outreach with our veterans and civilians as well. Guide dogs can help everyone who wants to be helped by a guide dog. So our outreach is getting broader. We personally place guide dogs in homes throughout the United States, not just in the state of California. All schools are trying to really get the word out there, because out of the 1.3 million blind people that there are in the USA, it's only about 5% of those blind people that actually use guide dogs. So that's a very low percentage. And part of that reason is individuals don't realize that the dogs are given to them for free. Mm-hmm. When they hear people talk about what the fundraising cost is, they think that that's a responsibility that they have to pay themselves. So it's just educating, those individuals with blindness that that they can have this option, this guide dog option, which allows them to have, safe mobility, as we like to say, safe mobility, loving companionship, and the miracle of independence.
Yes, and I borrowed that tagline a few times in some of the blogging I've done. You can get more information about this, by the way, on my own blog. It's rickrockhill@blogspot.com. You can get all kinds of details, and I'll be kind of blogging and following along with this all through the month of September, so please be sure to check it out, and most importantly, follow the links to donate online. Kim, some of my listeners may not be familiar with just how guide dogs come to be. Can you just describe briefly the process from, beginning to when a guide dog is placed with a blind person?
Oh, certainly. We have puppy raisers, and puppy raisers are wonderful individuals that take a dog at 8 to 10 weeks of age. They volunteer their time to do this. They take this dog into their home. They love it. They socialize it. What I mean about socialization is one of the main things is that the dog needs to be, needs to have, or, and I'm stuck on a word here, Rick, but they need to be able to go into any environment and not be spooked by anything. So socialization comes to going to the grocery store, taking a bus, walking down the street when there might be emergency vehicles going by, when there might be big, loud trucks going by.
Yes.
So that's the main thing, is that we want puppy raisers to actually socialize these dogs so that they can adapt to any environment, so that when they're placed with a blind person, they're not afraid of any of these noises that they might hear. Or they're not wanting to run after the squirrels that are walking down the street.
as tempting as that may be.
Yes, as tempting as it may be for a dog, yes. So they keep these puppies in their home for about 18 to 20 months, and then they selflessly give them back to the guide dog school so that these dogs can then undergo medical evaluations and temperament evaluations to see if they can then go forward to be a guide dog. And that process takes anywhere from 4 to 6 months, depending on how quickly the dog picks up on the job.
Yes.
And then after that, the process of beginning to match them with a blind person takes place by our licensed trainers.
Okay. And so licensed trainers, are those people on staff, or is it a paid position, or are those volunteers also?
No, licensed trainers are actually our staff people. They go through a 3-year apprenticeship program to become a guide dog trainer. In the state of California, they're tested similar to what we are tested to have a driver's license. They actually have to prove to the state board that they can, one, train a guide dog, and two, actually work with a blind person. So the guide dog mobility instructor is not only a guide dog trainer, but they're also a teacher for the blind person. So
that's a real cost that the guide dog schools have, is the cost of a professionally trained and certified person. I see how that can be, it's more overhead, but it's a necessary part of the process.
Exactly.
Yeah. So when you have a client, a blind person who comes to you, they apply. Is that what it is? They apply to be considered for a dog. Is that right?
That is correct. Like colleges throughout the United States, a blind person researches or has their family research what guide dog schools are out there in the United States, and then they choose one based upon the curriculum that each school offers. And the size of classes. Our school in particular is a small school, so we have only 3 students per instructor. So it's a little bit more family individualized school. But they apply, and then our licensed instructors take a look at what their lifestyle is, what their home background is, what type of neighborhood environment they live in. They look at whether or not they have a job. Is it a really active job in downtown LA, or is it just getting on, you know, one bus and going to a small office? And then they look at the dogs that have come in for training, and they pick the personality of the dog based upon the lifestyle of the individual.
Okay, I see. Now, for those of you who are listening, Kim Laidlaw is with us today. She's from the Guide Dogs of the Desert. They're just one of several accredited guide dog school organizations in the U.S. who will be benefactors of National Guide Dog Month. And so what we're looking to do really is raise awareness so people can understand what's behind this and how to help these schools so they can afford to place more guide dogs. These accredited guide dog schools provide the dogs for free, as I understand it. And that's the reason why, since they're nonprofit, that's the reason why we're asking people to help donate so they can keep these schools operational and well-funded. Kim's Guide Dogs of the Desert can be reached at guidedogsofthedesert.org if you're interested in checking out her specific school. So, Kim, I know you have some other fun facts to share about guide dogs. Can you talk a little bit about blind and visually impaired people component, but now what about the dogs? Are there any fun things that our listeners can know?
Sure. What a lot of people probably don't realize is that there's archaeological evidence that guide dogs have been helping the blind as early as 79 AD. And when you research guide dogs on the website, you'll also find that they have been used in a number of wards to help blind individuals. And Buddy, who is a German Shepherd, was the first guide dog that came to the United States. And Buddy was with a gentleman by the name of Morris Frank. And he actually started the first guide dog school that's in the United States, and that's the CNI. So there's a lot of history that goes back with guide dogs, even though some of us, you know, maybe new to understanding what their purpose is. They go back many, many years. So one of the other things is that, you know, oftentimes people will say, well, you know, can my terrier be a guide dog? And although the terrier may have the drive and the will to want to do the job, it's a standard that guide dogs need to be 18 inches at the shoulder. So dogs that are under 18 inches at the shoulder are not allowed to be guide dogs.
So Kim, is what you're saying that like a teacup Yorkie would not be a good guide dog?
No, it would not. Even for the shortest person that there is.
Right. No, it makes sense. It does make sense that, you know, there has to be a certain type of dog. And I imagine temperament and you know, certain breeds have more focus than others, I guess. Is that also part of this?
You know, there are a number of different breeds that different guide dog schools use. The most common is, of course, the Labrador Retriever. It's just a friendly all-around dog, and it's probably the most accepted publicly as a service dog. But, you know, there are German Shepherds, and there are schools on the East Coast that use nothing but German Shepherds, and there are clients that want nothing but German Shepherds as a guide dog. And we also use poodles, and for those standard poodles, for those individuals who are allergic to the dander that a dog produces, a standard poodle does not produce that dander, so they can have a guide dog in their home if they're allergic to animals, or perhaps their husband or their child might be, and that's now an option for them.
Hmm.
And of course, we also use golden retrievers.
Yes. They're all just beautiful dogs. It's amazing how, to me, these dogs are heroes in a sense, and they're born, and they've been working for a living. They work for quite a while, right? How many years does the average guide dog, you know, work, play for the blind person?
They work for approximately 8 to 10 years, and it all depends on the lifestyle of the dog. If the dog is going to work in downtown L.A. or maybe working in downtown New York, they may retire a bit earlier, but typically a guide dog will work for about 8 to 10 years. And one of the things that I often have people ask is, you know, well, doesn't the dog ever get to be a dog? And, you know, the dog does get to be a dog. When the guide dog is not in harness, they get to be a dog. Their harness is their uniform, like a UPS man puts on his brown uniform to go to work, or a police officer puts on their uniform to go to work. When they're in uniform, they are performing a certain function. When they're out of uniform, they can be who they want to be. And that is exactly the same thing that happens with a guide dog. When they're not in harness, they get to play and swim and run and do the things that our pets do.
Hmm, okay. Well, I've seen guide dogs out in the street in public, and I've been to your facility before, and you've told me that before, and that's kind of my cue when you see a dog, because our instinct as pet, anybody who loves pets, loves animals, you know, your instinct is you always want to go pet the dog. Well, if a guide dog is working, you really are not supposed to disturb him, because his or her job is to keep that blind person out of harm's way. So if you distract the dog, you're kind of doing a disservice, I guess, is how I see it.
Well, you know, that's exactly right, Rick. And for those listening, I think probably an easy way to make that analogy is if you're driving in your car and the passenger in your car all of a sudden grabs the steering wheel and tries to take it away from you, you immediately become disoriented, you become panicked, you're not sure what the outcome is going to be. And that's exactly the same thing happens when someone distracts a guide dog that's working.
Okay. Now, I want to transition into puppy raisers. Is it hard to find puppy raisers? I mean, how do you get the word out for that?
You know, we advertise. We go to a lot of community events. Every time we do a fundraising event, we're not just trying to raise funds for the school itself, but we're also trying to bring in puppy raisers to help us raise these dogs. There's no way that any guide dog school could actually raise all these puppies themselves. So we really depend upon our puppy raisers to be a vital component of providing a service dog to one of our clients.
Okay. Now, I this is probably a good time to go to the phones. We asked one of your puppy raisers to call in today, and I believe we have Shirley on the phone with us. Shirley, are you there?
Yes, I am, Rick. Hi.
Hi. Thanks for calling in. Appreciate you being here on the show today.
You're welcome.
I just wanted to help get your perspective in for our listeners to understand. your role as a puppy raiser. And so I maybe just a couple questions for you. First of all, how long have you been a guide dog puppy raiser?
About 4.5 years.
Wow. And so in that time, how many puppies have you been able to raise? Just one or two, or what is that?
Well, actually, we're on puppy number 5. She's here now.
What's her name?
Her name is Patchouli.
What a great name. That's fun. And what is she, a golden or a lab?
She's a golden retriever, and she's 11 weeks old today. She's a baby.
Oh, wow. So you really got them early. Okay. How did you get involved with the guide dogs of the desert? I mean,
about 5 years ago, my husband and I moved to the Coachella Valley, and I was looking for some way to become a part of the community. And I've always loved puppies, so it was a perfect match.
Wow. I'm a dog lover. I've never not had a dog, really, but it's a very different thing to have a pet versus raising a puppy and then having to give it up. I couldn't believe when I first heard that a couple of years ago that people have to do that, and it's got to be very difficult to give the dog up.
Yeah, that's the hardest day, absolutely the hardest day, and giving up the first one was the hardest of all those days. Somehow, later on, the other pups were a little bit easier to let go. We've only raised Goldens, not because that's all they had, but because that's our preference, although actually the school has lots of labs and some poodles. But we really love Goldens, so we've only had Goldens. And our first girl had a career change after going. She was with us 18 months, and then she went to the guide dog school, and she was there 2.5 months. And they said, you know, this dog really doesn't want to do this job. And so we had the opportunity to adopt her back. And so she has become part of our family. And our second and third dogs have become breeders for Guide Dogs of the Desert. Between them, they've had 21 puppies so far. They were females, and they've had 21 pups. And so that's pretty exciting. They've been able to increase the numbers for Guide Dogs of the Desert. And our fourth pup is still in training, and our fifth pup is here now, and she's just starting. So we've kind of got the gamut.
Yep, she still has a ways to go at 11 weeks. And it's probably worth mentioning, I've visited the facilities of the Guide Dogs of the Desert and a few other schools as well. And for anyone listening with any questions about it, it really is responsible breeding, and these pups are bred with love and lots of attention, and they're going for a specific role, a job. This is not just breeding for no reason. So for those of you who may have concerns, just this is a side note that there are a lot of great dogs in shelters that need homes, and that's a different thing where a shelter dog may not be ideal for becoming a guide dog because of all the different standards that are in place to ensure that the dogs can do the job for the requisite, requirements and period of time. But what we're talking about here are dogs that need to be bred for a very specific purpose, and they're bred with love and care, and they go into a home with someone who loves them, and it's really a very selfless act that everyone is doing, and these dogs are heroes because of the jobs they do. I'm sure you have some interesting stories, probably not enough time to go through all of them, but do you have any stories, Shirley, that maybe about a particular puppy you raised or a client that you met, something that would be interesting for our listeners?
Well, Kim mentioned a few minutes ago about the veterans. In the spring of 2009, I believe it was, there was an all-veteran class that I had the honor of being able to interview each of them as a volunteer for Guide Dogs of the Desert. And it was just, I've gone to many graduations, which is very, very uplifting, emotional day. But to be able to speak one-on-one with those 7 individuals who were getting dogs was a high point in my life, I have to tell you. It's really made a huge difference. And I already had been a guide dog puppy raiser for quite a time when it happened. And yet I just saw in each of their conversations how this dog was going to totally change their lives. And you know, that's all I need to be able to go on and do it as long as I'm able.
Yeah, my hat's tipped to you because you have an incredible job, and I've met so many people who have said that they could never be a puppy raiser because it's a tough thing to do, and those of you who do it, I have my full admiration and respect.
Well, thank you. People say that to us, of course, all the time. How could you let this puppy go? But I always say, you just go to a graduation. It only takes one graduation, and then you can say, I can do this because it's going to make such a difference in someone's life.
You are so right. I've been to a couple graduations, guide dog graduations, and they are so emotional for everybody. I mean, it's one of those happy and sad and, you know, happy tears, I guess.
Yes.
It might be helpful for you to give your perspective about those. And what's your experience that kind of leads up to the graduation? And why is it the ceremony itself so powerful for everybody?
Well, I know that as a puppy raiser, everyone gets involved in our raising these puppies. You know, our extended family, our friends, our coworkers, everybody is... You know, most people are pretty interested, and they help in any ways they can. They certainly give a lot of moral support. And on the other side of the issue, most of the people who have vision impairment also have a large number of people who are sort of their supporters. And so you bring all those people together on graduation day, and before the graduation ceremony itself, the graduate and the dog and the puppy raisers and the sponsor all sit down and have lunch together and can talk. And sometimes the graduate and the puppy raisers exchange email addresses or whatever so they can continue to be, you know, in contact. And that's actually the first day that the puppy raiser and the dog get to see each other since the day that the dog is turned in for training. So it's a big day for the puppy raiser. And so all of those forces all come together at graduation. And then at graduation, the puppy raiser ceremoniously hands over the leash. And the puppy raiser and the recipient can get to say a few words about what this puppy means to them. It is a incredibly heartfelt ceremony, and sometimes there's three graduates, and there may be 200 or 300 people there. I mean, there's a lot of support, and they're open to the public, and I would urge anybody to come to graduation.
And bring some tissues.
Yes. And there's tissues there also.
Great. Well, Shirley, I really appreciate you calling in today and being with us. It's great to hear your perspective on this. And I'm really hoping that our listeners today will be inspired to go out and support Guide Dog Month. This month in particular, we're trying to raise $1 million for the accredited guide dog schools across the country, like the Guide Dogs of the Desert.
Mm-hmm.
And it's something that, you know, you need a focal point during the course of the year to get people thinking about it. And, of course, once we get past September, then we want people to volunteer to be puppy raisers and even make donations and attend graduations and so forth. But in this month in particular, I appreciate your help because you will help us get the word out. And, you know, this show is heard all around the country. It's on the Internet, so anybody in the world could listen. But we're really hoping people will go to you can donate online easily at petco.com/naturalbalance. You can donate right there. You can go to any Petco store or independent pet store in the U.S., and you can donate at the register. You can buy specially marked bags of Natural Balance lamb and rice dog food, and that makes a donation toward Guide Dog Month. So lots of ways that you can do this. And Shirley, thank you so much again for being here today.
Well, thank you for having me and for having this show. Thanks a lot, Rick.
Okay, take care.
Bye-bye.
So before we go back to Kim, I just want to play this public service announcement again here for you. Here is Nicolette Sheridan and Dick Van Patten.
Hi, I'm Nicolette Sheridan, and I'm here with Dick Van Patten to ask for your support during National Guide Dog Month.
Now, we've teamed up with Petco to raise $1 billion so the people who don't have the gift of sight receive guide dogs.
It takes more than 2 years and over $40,000 to train one single guide dog. So with your donation, we can help guide dog schools train dogs to provide safe mobility, companionship, and the miracle of independence to the blind.
So please, make a donation today when you check out.
Through the gift of a guide dog, together, we can make a difference.
And my thanks again to Ms. Nicolette Sheridan and Dick Van Patten for their time and dedication to this cause. So, Kim, I want to go back to you here for a moment, because it was great listening to Shirley, and I appreciate her perspective on this. But I want to spend a moment or two on the client, your clients, the blind person, the visually impaired person who is receiving a guide dog. I imagine by the point that they contact a school and say, I would like to have a dog, they're already well, you know, accepting of the fact that they're going to put their trust in an animal. But what can you tell us about the change in the visually impaired person once they have a guide dog? Is there any difference you see?
Well, you know, Rick, as a staff member, I'm lucky to be able to see the entire process from the day that they come in, nervous. Not all of them have decided that they have that 100% trust in an animal that's going to help them. They realize that when they come to get a guide dog that they know that something is going to happen to change their life, but not really sure what it is. And so the first couple days at any guide dog school that the client comes in, they go through some lectures, and the instructors will tell them what to expect. They'll talk about some basic things they need to keep in mind. And then there's that day that is that's called dog day. And that's usually the third or fourth day that clients are at the school. And that's the day when they actually get to meet for the first time this service animal that's going to change their life. And that in itself is a very emotional time. They have all of this excitement and worry, and it just all comes to fruition once they're able to touch that dog and to hug that dog. They then realize that it's truly happening, that they're there to get their guide dog. And that that makes all of us cry, just as it makes us cry when we're at graduation. But so then they meet their dog, and they spend the rest of that day just bonding with their dog in the room, getting to know each other, learning, you know, the dog learns the person's voice, the touch, everything else, and then the training begins. And so when you see, you know, a nervous, uncertain person come in, and then on the last day of class, you see a confident, tall, walking person who can make it from the dormitory into the auditorium without any assistance, and their dog keeps them safe along the way, it really is, it's a miracle in my mind that's occurred. And you can really see the difference in the person getting the dog.
Mm-hmm. There is, for our listeners tuning in, we're talking to Kim Laidlaw from the Guide Dogs of the Desert, one of the accredited guide dog schools in the United States who will be the beneficiaries of the proceeds that we're raising this month, National Guide Dog Month, in September. 100% of the proceeds are going to the accredited guide dog schools, and these are schools that provide a guide dog. These are certified procedures, or training procedures on how to train a guide dog, and the dogs are provided for free to clients who apply for them and qualify. So these are nonprofit organizations, and they really deserve our help and respect and admiration too. Kim, you have generously provided to us a video that your school had prepared to help tell the story about the client, the visually impaired person who goes through this process of you know, being trained and learning about it and then receiving their dog. And we have posted that video on, there's two places online listeners can see it. One is on the Natural Balance website. You can go to naturalbalanceinc.com. I guess three places. One is from the guidedogsofthedesert.org website, and then also on petco.com. If you go to petco.com/naturalbalance, toward the bottom of the page is this video. It's the same video in all three places here. Incredibly powerful video. It's about 5 minutes, but it's well worth your time. And if you're after this show, if you are listening and you want to check it out, have a box of Kleenex near you and you will be moved by it. So it's kind of everything Kim just said, but visually represented for you. And we think it's important that people understand that, because it does help with the understanding. And as somebody, so you and I, Kim, are fortunate. We both have our sight. And I count my blessings every day. But if you don't, unless you've had that experience yourself, it's very hard to understand what it's like. Even if you have to put a blindfold on and be led by a guide dog, it will help you understand, but you never truly understand the plight or the challenge, the struggle. So this video really does help communicate that. So thank you for sharing it with us.
Well, and thank you for posting it, because it is. It's you know, a small documentary about what it is to go through 28 days of training and graduate with your guide dog. And I think it's very powerful. And you're right, Rick, unless you actually experience it yourself, you don't know what it's like to live the life of someone that doesn't have a sight.
We're going to go to the phones now. I'm going to welcome another guest we have today. It's a friend of mine, a friend of the show, Natalie Malazenko. She's the director of social media and commerce on Petco.com. Natalie, welcome to the show.
Hi, Rick and Kim. How are you?
Good morning.
Great. Really, really, really good. Appreciate you being here. For our listeners today, I invited Natalie on today because Natalie and I worked together for a while at Petco, but also as we've been partnering on National Guide Dog Month, preparing for this event, Natalie and I went to visit the Guide Dogs of the Desert facility here in Palm Springs. And again, I just want to reference that there are guide dog schools across the country, accredited schools across the country, that are all beneficiaries of this Guide Dog Month fundraiser. Since I live in Palm Springs and it's relatively close to the Petco offices and the Natural Balance offices, we happen to be visiting that facility to understand more about guide dogs. So I asked Natalie on the show today to share her perspective. So a few weeks ago, Natalie, when you and I went to the guide dogs facility in Palm Springs, we saw some puppies, and I think they were these really cute puppies being bathed and everything. Can you tell our listeners about that experience and what you saw?
Sure. I was very impressed, and it was different than I think what I was expecting. I guess when I think about puppies, it's so hard to have a puppy and give up a puppy, and it's something that I would be challenged with myself. But what I found was a bunch of people who felt so passionate about being able to be part of a guide dog's life and be able to be part of helping someone who can't see have a second chance at sight through a puppy. It was just amazing to me. I really felt for them, and I could see why it was so important to them and how they felt that they could be a part of it. So, I mean, talk about tears. Like you said, get the box of Kleenex out. I was about in tears the whole time, because it was just amazing to meet these people who realized they were doing something that was going to help so many people.
Yeah, those were awfully darn cute puppies that day.
Yes, they were.
It was great. So now that you've had the opportunity to learn more about guide dogs, what has resonated the most with you, Kim, Natalie?
I think what I was most surprised with, beyond the fact that there are so many people out there who actually have lost their sight, when you start seeing the statistics, I honestly had no idea. So that was very powerful to me, and really cannot believe how many people out there could really, you know, use the gift of a guide dog. I was really surprised with all the different kinds of breeds that go into a guide dog. I think I was under the misconception that it's just golden retrievers, and it's not. You know, there's poodles. And what I thought was very fascinating is people who actually are allergic to dogs, there's a solution to that for them. They can actually still have a guide dog. That to me was amazing. I also found really interesting, and I always forget what it's called, but and Kim will know, but when you actually train a guide dog to not take command from the owner, because what the owner wants to do could put themselves at risk. So, for example, with Toyota Priuses and some of the other hybrid cars, you can't hear them very well. If the owner of a guide dog wants to move across the street and doesn't realize that one of these cars is coming, the guide dogs are trained to ignore the owner's command and be able to say, no, you're not going to go because you'll be put in danger's way. And that, to me, is just absolutely amazing. I just can't get over that.
Kim, what is that term called again?
Yeah, it's called intelligent disobedience.
That's right.
And that's where, you know, the guide dog makes life and death decisions. And it really is a marvel. And that's another reason why when Shirley talked earlier about Fiona had a change of career because they said that she didn't want to be a guide dog, that actually comes into play. If the dog doesn't want to do that job where it can make life or death situations, then the dog has a change of career. So,
Natalie, you mentioned a minute ago you were surprised by, you know, the stats, the number of people, and so forth. I'm not sure if you heard earlier, but there's something that Kim shared that I think, it even surprised me, and it's a further detail on the number of people who are impacted. The Braille Institute says that there are 15 million blind and visually impaired people. 1.3 million of them are legally blind people. Which is an amazing number. That's one out of every 20 people has a vision problem of some type.
Wow.
Yeah, so it is fairly broad.
Those big numbers.
Yeah. I mean, it's one of those things people just say, oh, well, there's a blind person. They don't think about it. Well, unlike many afflictions, diseases, other things that can afflict people or be a health problem, if you're blind, while it's not something you'd wish on anyone, there is an option for you for a guide dog, and that can really help change your life and not be, kind of subjected to so many things that you know you would think of would come to mind when you lose your sight. In fact, you don't have to be a shut-in. You don't have to be afraid to go out when you have a guide dog. That dog is there for you and is going to be your eyes and keep you safe. So it is. That's kind of the stuff that resonated with me is people don't realize that there is a solution. What do you think, Natalie, are some of the things that just the general public needs to know that they might not be aware of concerning guide dogs? Anything come to mind?
I think the time people actually really can use a guide dog and how helpful it would be to change their lives. I think it's a bigger number than a lot of people probably realize because we may not see someone with a guide dog every day. I think the general population definitely needs to know how much it takes to train a guide dog. Time, effort, the finances involved, it's like training a professional athlete. And that to me is something that, you know, I don't know if the whole world realizes how much really goes into it. I think we probably all take it for granted, given that, you know, all of us that have our own dogs, we train our dogs to do tricks and sit. This is like a whole nother level of tricks. So I think that the amount of effort and time and emotion and what everyone puts in to make these dogs the world-class athletes that they are to really take care of somebody is outstanding.
Yeah, Kim, I don't know what your perspective on that is. Is there anything you think the general public needs to know that Natalie hasn't mentioned or any other thoughts?
Well, you know, Natalie, what you just said is something that our director of canine operations says all the time, and that is that, you know, these are the superb athletes of the dog world to be able to do this job. But it is. It's a lot of time. It's a lot of volunteer energy. It's a lot of staff energy. It's a lot of energy on behalf of the blind person to come and learn how to use the dog. And the resources that are put into the making of a guide dog are a lot. And I don't think that people know that. I also don't think that people know that some of the causes of blindness that people would need to get a guide dog are these things that individuals hear about every day, and that's cataracts, glaucoma, macular degeneration. If you're a diabetic, you can get diabetic retinopathy and gradually start to lose your sight. So I think I don't think that people know how encompassing the entire blindness world is and how it just affects everyone at some point in their life who has a vision problem or who is genetically disposed to, you know, cataracts, glaucoma, macular degeneration. It's amazing how many people are affected, and it's amazing what a difference a guide dog can make. And I don't think that people really think about the cost involved either. You know, over $40,000 a dog is quite a bit of money. But when you see, it's like the MasterCard commercial, you know, independence priceless.
That's a great analogy, by the way. That's a really I hadn't thought about that one before. There's a quote I read here, and it says, "The best and most beautiful things in the world cannot be seen or even touched. They must be felt with the heart." Do you know who said that?
That was Helen Keller.
Exactly, Helen Keller. And it you know, never a truer word has been spoken or written. I know that you have a quote that Helen Keller also said, another one that you use with Guide Dogs of the Desert, and we borrowed it for our campaign. Kim, can you share that with the group here?
Yeah, that quote is actually,
I just found it. It's walking with a friend in the dark is better than walking alone in the light. Sorry, I found it as I asked you.
Yes. And she, you know, many, many years ago, made a challenge to the Lions, group, to be Knights of the Blind. And that is why you'll find a lot of Lions, groups that also help across the United States. Petco and Natural Balance are, the Lions, are also committed to helping, those, experiencing the loss of sight, find, a way to get through that. So she put a plea out there many, many years ago, and, she is quite an amazing woman, I'll tell you.
Yes. You know, while Natalie's still on the phone with us, I just want to, first of all, thank Natalie for being here, but also Petco.com has done a great job supporting this fundraiser. And Natural Balance is working with Petco.com and our independent pet retailers. Anywhere you can buy Natural Balance pet food, you can participate in this fundraiser. You can make a donation at the register. You can purchase specially marked bags of Natural Balance lamb and rice dog food where you see a little sticker on it. You'll know that a dollar of that is going toward guide dog schools. That being said, Petco has been tremendously supportive. And, Natalie, I really owe a lot of thanks to you and your entire marketing team, the buyers at Petco. Everyone has been great. But you have, through what you've done at Petco.com, you have put this all in reach, and Petco.com has a huge traffic, you know, a lot of traffic going to the website. And so one of the reasons why I keep mentioning this, aside from the fact that we have a great partnership together and I appreciate your support, you are best positioned to help get the word out to a lot of people. So you've put together a variety of things on your website to help people learn more and to donate online. Can you just summarize really quickly, you know, what it is you have online, what's there, and I'll chime in if I think of anything else with it.
Sure. So like you said, at petco.com/naturalbalance, you can see the video that Kim and her team have done, which is very emotional. Like Rick, I'm going to echo it. Grab the box of Kleenex before you watch it. We also have some really great statistics about people who are blind, which is absolutely still amazing to me. And because I love being able to experience the puppies and being able to be a part of the puppies, I want all of the people that come to petco.com to take part in it too. So we actually have the ability there for you to vote on the name of the next guide dog puppy. So definitely really excited about that and excited to see what people end up choosing for the next name. On the PetcoScoop.com, which is our blog, we actually did quite a few videos and interviews while we were there a couple weeks ago with you and Kim. And I'm going to do the best I can to share my experience through my eyes, if you will, with everyone and all of our readers on the Petco Scoop, and really try to bring to all of the readers really what I experienced and the emotion that I felt while I was there.
And I really appreciate that. In fact, you guys are really generous on the homepage of Petco.com. So the main page when you go there, you can kind of just right in the middle there, you can, if you look at the picture where our Dick Van Patten and Jimmy Van Patten and Nicolette Sheridan are pictured with a little guide dog, Allie, to the right of that is the special message from Nicolette Sheridan. There's a video message there, and so you generously post that on your homepage. I mean, that's great real estate, and we appreciate the exposure that you're helping give this cause of National Guide Dog Month. So thanks a lot for that. I do appreciate it.
Oh, you're welcome. We're really happy to be a part of this and drive such attention and awareness to something that a lot of people just don't probably realize. So we're definitely happy to support it. And also I want to mention to you that you can go to petco.com and donate. Even if it's just $5, it definitely goes a long way, and definitely want to help get awareness to raise that $1 million this month.
Yeah, our goal is to raise $1 million at least. We want to do more than that. But, you know, if 1 million people just donated $1, I mean, that's all it takes. It's not, there's 365 million people in the United States alone. So we just need, you know, 1 million of them to donate $1. Or, you know, if you want to donate $20. In fact, if you make a donation of $20 at a Petco store, you'll be given a thank you gift. It's a really nice lapel pin that says, "I helped a puppy become a hero." And that was artwork and slogan provided by the Guide Dogs of the Desert. So again, Kim, thank you very much for that, allowing us to use that. But those are a nice little premium incentive for people who want to feel good about having made a donation of $20. You can do that at the register, and the cashier will present the pin to you. There's also little donation cards if you want to donate $1 or $5 or $10. There's a little donation card with a picture on it. You can take that home if you just as a remembrance. But most importantly, to know that, you know, that donation that you make is 100% of those proceeds, all of it is going to the accredited guide dog schools in the United States. And those are nonprofit organizations that provide guide dogs for free, at no cost. And you've already heard that it takes over $40,000 to train a single guide dog, and almost 2 years. So it's an amazing cost. There's things like overhead to the facility. While there's a lot of volunteers who donate or volunteer their time, rather, there are a lot of costs incurred with feeding and training and veterinary costs, and you have certified people who have to be on staff and maintain their you know, certifications with states and so forth. So it's not cheap to do this, and we think that this is important for people to understand. So there's two big messages. One is, if you're visually impaired, there is help for you. You can get a guide dog and have this experience in your life, and it will change, and you'll be able to go to work and contribute and be part of society quite easily again. But also, for those of you who are fortunate, for those of us who are fortunate to have our sight, we need to do something to help others who can't see. And your donation of any amount, particularly in this month, National Guide Dog Month, makes a big difference. Find your local guide dog school and go check them out. Go and see a graduation ceremony. Ask how you can help. If you even want to volunteer some time or donate something, you know, other than just money, it's all very helpful. So keep those things in mind. And, you know, animals are an important part of the human-animal bond. They enrich our lives. So a guide dog is just really a further extension of that. So keep that in mind when you look at your pet in your home, that pet is also, there are other pets like that who are also working 8 to 10 years to help fellow humans who can't see. So that's kind of what this is all about here today. Now, on Petco.com, I also want to mention there are some statistics, some facts, other things you can see. That great video from the visually impaired person who received her dog and the experience she went through, do check that out. And most importantly here is, after you do this, after you make your donation, after you visit a Petco store, we need you to tell someone else about it. Tell your neighbor, tell your friends, send emails, go on Twitter, use Facebook, and say, "I just made a donation for National Guide Dog Month at my local pet store. I went to Petco. I went to Petco.com. I made a donation. It was easy, and I feel great." And so we need your help to get that word out. Okay, well, I think that's about all the time we have for today. First of all, I want to thank all my guests. Natalie Malzenko from Petco.com, thank you. Kim Laidlaw from the Guide Dogs of the Desert, thank you so much for your time today. I do appreciate it. And for all of you who listened today, thank you so much for your time and your passion. And please take a moment and make a donation. Go to petco.com/naturalbalance. You can also get information at naturalbalanceinc.com or on my blog, rickrockhill.blogspot.com. We're going to close one more time with the public service message from Nicolette Sheridan and Dick Van Patten.
Hi, I'm Nicolette Sheridan, and I'm here with Dick Van Patten to ask for your support during National Guide Dog Month.
Now, we've teamed up with Petco to raise $1 billion so the people who don't have the gift of sight receive guide dogs.
It takes more than 2 years and over $40,000 to train one single guide dog. So with your donation, we can help guide dog schools train dogs to provide safe mobility, companionship, and the miracle of independence to the blind.
So please, make a donation today when you check out.
Through the gift of a guide dog, together, we can make a difference.
And my thanks once again to Nicolette Sheridan and Dick Van Patten, everyone at Natural Balance. I'm Rick Rockhill. You've been listening to the Palm Springs Savant and Company radio show. Thanks so much for listening today, and have a great week.